Good morning, family. My name is Emmy Pugh. I think most of you guys know that. Pastor Roger and Heather's daughter. And I've been asked to speak this morning about dream interpretation. That's not usually a subject that we preach about on Sunday mornings, is it? Has anyone sat? Well, it is now. Besides last week when Pastor Roger preached on it, has anyone else ever been in a Sunday service where they've taught about biblical visions and dreams being interpreted? I haven't. So that's kind of exciting. I'm very excited. Yeah, but I meant like in the main Sunday service. Well, first of all, I just wanted to say, John and Amanda, when Dad was prophesying over you, I saw a picture of a cross, and I saw it being broken into pieces. And the Lord said to me, John and Amanda have an anointing on their life to destroy the false image of who Jesus is. And that's a stronghold in the Caribbean. There's a false Christ that's worshiped. And the Lord is anointed because he's done that work in both of your lives to different degrees. He's broken the image, the false, the religious, the fill in the blanks of who Jesus you thought he was. And he's revealed himself. And because when you see Jesus, you see the Father, it reveals the Father. So that's an anointing that will go with you wherever you go and wherever you, but it's specifically a call to the Caribbean because there is a lot of false versions of Christianity there mixed with other pagan religions and rituals. So that's exciting, isn't it? When the Lord takes our testimony of our life and the places where he's walked us through and he begins to put his pressure on an area of your life, so much so that you feel like if he keeps pressing me here, I'm gonna explode. But that's very intentional by the Spirit of God because it's like creating an atomic bomb. The more pressure that he puts in that part, the more the particles begin to come together and something supernatural happens. And then that part of your life that when it was in the hands of the enemy would blow you up and destroy you, when it's put in the hands of your God, becomes a great weapon that sends out a flash in the spirit and destroys the works of the enemy, not only in your life, but in the lives of those around you who struggle with the same things. So that's kind of an example of John and Amanda's life. So they're going out with the atomic energy of the Most High. So guys, as the Holy Spirit brings that them to your mind, will you pray in partnership with that? Because that's what we do as a family of God. That's what we do as spiritual people. The Bible talks about us as a family. It talks about us as an army together. So those are two metaphors. They're realities that we're going to dive in a little bit. So last week, Pastor Roger spoke about dreams and visions being something that has been in the Old Testament and New Testament. So you guys, most of you have walked with the Lord and know a little bit about the Bible. So we talked about Joseph briefly, Joseph and Daniel, really big, big ticket stories to dive into about them interpreting dreams of national leaders, Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. And I want to encourage you, that's something I'm not going to reteach that. But then we also see the realm of visions all through the prophetic books. And even in the book of Numbers, Moses writes, that God says Miriam and Aaron were prophets. And God specifically says, like, I speak to my prophets in dreams and visions. This is the main way I communicate with them. So we see it more being reserved for prophets in the Old Testament, the realm of dreams and visions. But then we come to the book of Acts. Well, first we come and we see Jesus. Jesus speaks in the language of symbols and parables through his ministry. And you think, why would he do that? Well, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear, right? He said, some things will be hidden to some and revealed to others. Because God is outside of time, but he put us in time and he is about timing. And some people just not ready to hear that yet, right? Have you ever not been ready to hear something that the Lord wants to say quite yet? And if you heard it, who knows what you'd do? You'd bludgeon yourself to death with it or somebody else or whatever, right? Like, there's aspects of the kingdom of God that the Lord knows so intimately where we're each at, and he knows where each person we encounter is at. So also, I believe that God, the language of dreams and visions and the unseen realm, in Isaiah, Isaiah says, God says, Isaiah writes that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I think because of, if I can just be honest, our very individualistic, me first freedom mindset of our Western culture, we really would rather see God submit to how we see things, because my opinion is the most important. I deserve to have a voice, okay? I deserve to be heard, which is true, okay? The word deserve, I think, is a bit, I think it reveals the heart of that attitude. But there's a lack of submission in our Western culture and mindsets that is not a kingdom or biblical culture, where God wants us to come to scripture and not gloss over something that we don't understand, like the book of Ezekiel, for instance. If you want to just be like, I don't know what's going on, or Revelation, you know, how many times have you read Revelation and be like, yes, I'm starting to understand? No, I don't understand. Like they feel like you start to get traction and then you're like, I don't know what's happening. you start to make connections, but there's an invitation there by the Lord because he wants you to come and commune with him and begin to study and understand and hear from him his language, his ways, his symbols, his realm, his kingdom, right? We were in the car the other day, and I was talking to the kids and Tom about something, and I said something about God being on our side. And Evie said, Mom, you've told me that actually God's not on our side, we're on his side. And I said, you know, that's true. He is on our side, but really we're on his side. Like, he is for us. But that's because we were bought with a price, right? Our lives are not our own. And she just reminded me, she's like, excuse me, your theology is going a bit amiss here for a second. She's like, I think we're actually on his side. He's not so much. But that's that correction of that Western mindset of, you know, and it's that balance. We always see the balance in scripture. Yes, if God is for you, who can be against you? Okay? That is true. But that's... There's always conditions of the covenant, isn't there? And we don't like to focus on the conditions of the covenant, right? Which is intimacy with the Father. By the way, is that that bad of a condition? Is that that bad of a condition? That really is the condition. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two covenants. If you fulfill them, you're fulfilling the law. I feel like that's pretty easy, right? So first of all, the Lord wanted me to tell you that the realm of dreams and visions, first of all, is about intimacy with God. It's an invitation to a conversation and to an understanding. So when you have a dream or you see something in the spirit, whether it's something that makes you really excited or something that kind of freaks you out, that's an invitation to a conversation with the Lord. And it's actually an invitation to fellowship with other believers. Because as Pastor Todd and Pastor Roger and Pastor Nicole have been preaching, the Lord wants us to do it with him and each other. This is not a one-man show. This is not about special revelation to make you cooler and more holy than everyone else. You know, it's not. It's about learning the language of God and his ways. And then also, well, I'll save that for a minute, okay? So dreams and visions is about intimacy. And the Lord reminded me, like, at nighttime is known as a time of intimacy, right? Okay? And, well, it's known for a lot of things. But back in Genesis, the Lord created the day and the night. He didn't have to. He could have made it daytime the whole time. He could have made us to never sleep. But he chose to have a daytime and a nighttime. And I wondered, okay, Lord, well, why did you do that? We see some positive references in scripture about how, David says that the Lord instructs us in the night seasons. We know that David talked about getting up to be with the Lord in the night. Jesus went away while it was still night to be with the Father. So we know that there are these times of intimacy, but we also know from personal experience that I remember my mom and dad saying when I was a teenager, your curfew is 11 because not great things happen at night, you know? And there's scriptures like, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. You can hide, right? So this is a realm that God created for his ways, for his instruction and his purposes, and the enemy immediately just tries to seize it. The enemy immediately tries to seize the realm of dreams and visions, wants to freak you out at night, right? Attack you, fill you with fear and anxiety from the things that have happened during the day. And then even the realm of visions, I was thinking of friends who've been delivered from drug addiction, how they've seen visions in the spirit realm, and they haven't been good ones. So, you know, you tell someone who's had bad experiences in the seeing realm, and they're like, I don't necessarily want to go there. Well, that's a ploy of the enemy, because the realm of dreams and visions is God's realm. So, first of all, I want to say that if the nighttime or dreams or visions have been a place of harassment, specifically demonic harassment in your life, we have wonderful ministers here that will go deeper with you in any healing and recalibration that you might need from having experiences like that with the enemy in your dreams and visions, okay? Because we're a church where we don't want you to leave the way you came in. We want to be transformed from glory to glory. So this is something that is interesting, though. When you give your life to Christ, you are his. So I don't want you to be afraid of having dark dreams or pizza dreams or sexual dreams, okay? If we're going to be honest. Because the realm of dreams, the Lord, it's like Tom and I were talking, it's a realm of intel. You can take any dream that you have had and bring it to the Lord and another believer, and he will begin to unwind that and bring you to his purposes and freedom in your life, whatever it is, okay? So I want you to know it's not just the godly dreams of some of you that you wake up and you know, that's important, I should remember that, that was God. It's not just those dreams. The Lord, he is Lord over all of your life, okay? So we establish his kingship in every realm, okay? So that's important to mention. I want to say that there are destiny dreams, right? Where you have, okay, first of all, who's ever had a dream at night? I think everyone has had a dream at some point, even if it was a weirdo dream. Well, I'm going to pause for a second, because actually when we look at dreams in the Bible, a lot of them are alarming. So don't assume just because you have an alarming dream that it's a demonic or dark dream. Because the Lord oftentimes uses alarming dreams or confusing dreams as a wake-up call, and he wants you to pursue him to figure out what's going on. I have an example from this morning. My wonderful husband got woken up by the dog in the middle of the night, got woken up by me because I was tossing and turning around, and then he went back to sleep, and I asked him this morning, how do you sleep? He said, I had a disturbing dream. And I said, well, you know, would you tell me the dream? And as he told me the dream, I won't go into the details because it involves a family member, not these family members, but one of Tom's family members. And he was seeing an act of violence happen upon a family member. And there was other context clues. And as he began to talk, we said, Lord, will you give us the interpretation? And the Lord brought a clear interpretation and a clear activation of how we were to respond to that dream and go into warfare prayer for this family member. And that is very biblical for the Lord to give warning dreams. So don't be concerned if you wake up and feel a little unnerved. The God of all comfort is not here to make you comfortable. We get those confused. The Holy Spirit as our comforter, it means he wants to be with you as he takes you into the uncomfortable things. Okay? So let the God of all comfort, let the Holy Spirit be your partner as you walk into and through the uncomfortable things of life that agitate your flesh, that push you out of your complacency and into the spirit realm. Okay? So the God of all comfort did not come to make you comfortable, okay? We're going to be quite comfortable in heaven. I think we can give it a good 70, 80 years of being a little uncomfortable for the King of Kings, right? It's going to be worth it. There's a lot of rewards involved. So I just wanted to pray over, as we go into this next section, right now, if you just want to offer up, if you've had any bad experiences with dreams or visions, if you feel like this is not for me, I just want to gently encourage you that dream interpretation is not a spiritual gift that's listed. It's a heavenly skill. It's available to all believers. And even if you don't dream or see visions a lot, being one who can interpret dreams is extremely valuable, important for these times. So would you open up? So if you've never thought about this subject before, this is the first time you've ever heard about it, well, congratulations. Welcome to the fun. if this is something that you do regularly, like I'm looking at Rose. Rose has dreams like it's her job. Okay. There's people in, and gets very accurate dream interpretations. I'm assuming you've interpreted dreams for other people. Yeah, absolutely. She's shaking her head. So, and if you even have a dream that has been reoccurring since childhood, or you've seen a picture in the spirit that has unnerved you, or you haven't known what it's meant, we're going to provide some time to get together in the future and kind of come and actually practice dream interpretation. And you'll be able to bring your own dream, or we can have practice ones for you to go through, because there are some fun skills. So yeah, the way to interpret dreams, I will pray. Interpreting dreams is not a spiritual gift, but you do use spiritual gifts to interpret dreams, okay? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. So anytime you're growing in your spiritual gifts, it's helpful. The other way is studying the Bible, because God does use reoccurring symbols to mean things in his kingdom. And the more familiar we are with them, the easier they are to recognize. Also, when you listen to other prophets and people interpret dreams, you begin to hear the language of the Lord in reoccurring ways. You know, people say, like, there's a Christianese, it's his own language. Well, yeah, there is. I mean, I know sometimes that's said in a negative way, but in a positive way, there are symbols and phrases and things that God uses over and over. So, practicing that. But the last way to interpret dreams is to ask God and the Holy Spirit, because we can't interpret dreams, but God does. And that's what Daniel and Joseph said when they were called upon to interpret. They said, I can't interpret your dream, but my God can. This is for his glory and his fame. Like I said, not about special revelation. I know I don't need to say that to you guys because you're mature. It's about his glory and his fame. And so right now, I'm going to pray. And one of the ways that God helps us is through something called impartation, which you guys know. So the Lord has imparted to me recently a deeper level of dream interpretation. So if that's something that you want to grow in, if you want to have a dream from the Lord, if you want to see a vision, or if you want to have a fresh impartation of developing understanding dream interpretations, I'm going to pray for you, okay? So we're going to do that right now before we move on, right? So you can put your hands out, whatever posture. First of all, Lord, we submit every dream, every vision that we've ever had under your lordship. Right now, I thank you. You're just taking a cloth that's just soaked in your anointing, soaked in your glory. I just see that it's just you're wiping it over us and removing the residue of every place where the enemy has tried to twist and distort and bring fear, fear of the occult. I just see the Lord just like a magnet, the anointing of the Lord is just wiping over you and wiping off every residual of the place where the enemy has tried to taint this realm of the kingdom of God and this language of the kingdom of God. So just receive, there is a cleansing happening right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For some of you, it's just topical. You've just kind of gotten splattered. I feel like there's someone who's had a dream that was interpreted incorrectly and they just said, well, that's not for today, or I'm not going to listen to that. And the Lord just says, will you come to me again? And I hear the Lord say that when he starts a conversation, will you please not finish it early before it's done? Will you please seek out the matter? And Lord, right now, as we lift our hands to you, I speak out and let, as your people receive from you, you pour out
right now a fresh anointing, a fresh impartation to receive the ears of the Holy Spirit to hear, to see, to have understanding. We pray for increase of spiritual gifts in the realm of prophesying, in the realm of understanding dreams and visions for your glory and your fame. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. See, the Lord doesn't ask us to do things without his help. This is not a single project. This is a group project. All the teachers like that, right? It's a group project. Don't do it alone. Okay, so interpreting dreams. Are you guys enjoying this? I really like this subject. interpreting dreams is actually an act of stewardship. Okay? Because the Lord gives you something, and then he wants you to take care of it, to cultivate it. It says you guys probably know this proverb, that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and the honor of kings to search it out. I want to be a king. Search out the matter. But so it's an issue of stewardship, and at times it can be a discipline. So, again, going back to the night seasons, I'll go to what Jesus said too. So Jesus would get up and spend time with God in the night. I really only know a couple of people who think that's fun. Do you ever meet somebody like that where they're like, I was up with the Lord. I have a prophet friend. She's always up at like 4 or 5 a.m. being with the Lord. She has 3 kids, a very busy life. And I get annoyed. I'm like, why are you up? That is not how God made me. That's not, you know, there's always like a couple of people in every room that are those morning people. Like, God bless you that comes easy. But Jesus set this model for us because he said, remember the disciples said, are you hungry? And he's like, oh no, I have bread you don't know about. And they're like, what? who went and bought him bread? He was talking about time with the Father in the quiet because he knew that he couldn't live and do anything without having special nourishment from the Father, okay? So I do want to encourage in this night season time, I had health troubles for many, many years, and I was actually afraid of not getting a full night's sleep, and I think a lot of people get there. When you've been harassed by lack of sleep and where one night's sleep will ruin your whole week, the enemy can quickly make that an idol. I just want to be honest. Where you're fearful, if you wake up, you get fearful. Like, I'm not going to be able to function. I have people that depend on me. I have a work. I have to pay bills. Blah, 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 blah. And it goes. And the Lord had to take back that realm and say, will you let the opportunities of being disturbed in your sleep, will you let them be opportunities to come to me and to be with me? Because I have bread that you don't know about. So I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to change that paradigm. If you've ever been afraid of waking up or harassed by a mismatched sleep schedule because of sickness or having little babies or whatever it is, just bring that time. Let the Lord redeem the time because the days are short, it says in the Bible. And wouldn't it be amazing, this is God's intention, if he could use both day and night? It's almost like he planned it that way. Like, wouldn't that redeem the time if we used all 24 hours? So will you let him? Will you let him? Will you lay down that place of fear or anxiety? And see, the nighttime is special because we are in the most overstimulated days of all time. Even if you live in the woods, like my girl Nicole, not even that far into the woods, Pastor Todd and Nicole, you still get Wi-Fi? You got Wi-Fi, you're up the creek without a paddle. Like, that is distraction USA, right? So how faithful is the Lord to allow us times where we literally can't be distracted? That's faithfulness, right? So it does take discipline, though. I woke up a couple nights ago, well, maybe last week, and I heard something audible from the Lord, which is really rare. And I was lazy bones, and I thought, this is so important, I will definitely remember it in the morning. I'm not being dramatic, but I lament that I didn't write it down. And the Lord was disciplining me. He said, that's fine. You can have your flesh where you can hear my audible voice. And I was thinking, I hope I don't make that mistake again soon. That doesn't feel good. Discipline doesn't feel good at the moment, but it produces good fruit. We do have to talk about how our Father lovingly disciplines us, especially when we ask him, because I said, will you speak to me more at night? It's not like he just did it to me. Like, I asked him to. And then I was like, nah. Like, my bed's really comfortable. I've been waking up too many times anyway. Like, you just, it's so easy in the moment to come up with excuses, because that's just, because we live a very comfortable life in our beautiful Western church where we're not persecuted. I do know, yeah, yet to the degrees that a lot of our brothers and sisters are. And I do know, and this is not condemnation, this is a reality. I do know believers that are not in a comfortable, unpersecuted church, who are in the persecuted church, who, if the Lord awakens them in the night, they're filled with joy, they're filled with pleasure, that the Lord would call on them in that moment, that it's a privilege. And the Lord was speaking that to me. He said, like, will you respond to the privilege of my voice? Privilege. Could you imagine that? That they would think, the Lord is tapping me on the shoulder. And I was thinking, I was talking to Chris and Seth for a second before church, because I'd had a conversation with Tom and with some of the other guys here, because in 2 Timothy, you guys know the scripture here, I'll read it. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, Paul is telling Timothy, his spiritual son, overcome, this is in the Passion Translation, overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. The New King James Version translation says, therefore you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So Tom and I have been watching this kind of war about World War II documentary thing. And I noticed that these soldiers, when they enlist, apparently they give up the right to their schedule. Apparently that's part of the enlistment. It seems a bit crazy to me. They give up the right to their routines and being in charge of their routines, not just during the day, but also at night. And apparently there's these things called practices and drills where they actually wake them up in the middle of the night to get them to practice being able to go into warfare at a moment's notice and to be able to be functional and ready and to produce readiness. And I thought, maybe that's why Paul's using this metaphor here, because we are a family, but we're also an army. This is the difference, though. When you get woken by, like, a drill sergeant in the middle of the night, I don't suppose that's very fun. But that's not who's waking you up in the middle of the night. It's your Father. And I know when I was little, if my parents woke me up in the middle of the night for something, it was really important. Like, really important. And so if it's important because he wants you to practice something, if he's calling you to prayer, if he's calling you to remember a vision or write it down or a dream, it's important. So interpreting dreams and visions is important. And the Lord will give you practices and drills if you want him to. So also, something that I just want to throw out there. I think this is true, but I believe that when soldiers are awoken for missions in the middle of the night, I believe they wake the officers first. Right? So if any of you want to be leaders in the kingdom of God, will you become more comfortable and open to being the one that's bothered, awoken, inconvenienced? Will you let that become a new normal in a way where you feel like it's a privilege and not an inconvenience? You know, how much will we let ourselves live for the kingdom of God and not just for what we see? And I'm really excited that a lot of you, you know, like, I know so many of you have walked with the Lord for so long, because no matter where you are, like I said, even if you don't dream a lot, the Lord will still give you, if you desire, the ability to interpret dreams, which again, really important. So interpreting dreams is really fun. We can talk about that in a minute, but I want to go just for a second to about how it's an important part of evangelism. So in these last days, you know, everyone dreams. Everybody dreams, and people are agitated by their dreams. And if you have solutions, heavenly solutions, that sets you apart. And you say, I can't interpret dreams, but my God can. So just be aware of that. Like, even in your workplace, those of you who are more bold or enjoy this, you can say, like, hey, did anybody have any dreams? Like, I'm practicing dream interpretation. People are interested in that. You know why? Look at all of the fake occult versions of it. If people didn't care, the enemy wouldn't have taken on a new age and the occult in such an extreme way, right? So I do want to encourage you, though, if you have a dream, don't go Google the symbol, please, because you will just find most likely there's a lot of pagan translations for things. So use your discernment. There are a lot of very godly resources about dream symbols in the Bible. This subject is wide, so I have some good resources I can recommend to you. But first and foremost, we want to get our dream symbolism from the Bible. And then the Lord oftentimes speaks, like when we look at Joseph, God used Joseph in the Old Testament. God gave him a dream of these sheaves of wheat bowing down to him. Well, that was a symbol that Joseph was familiar with, and it meant something to him. His family was in agriculture. So God will use symbols that mean something to you. So it's also very personal because, like, for instance, a lot of times in, like, biblical dream interpretation, people will say, like, that cats represent the occult or witchcraft or something like that. Well, if you're a cat person, that's not going to mean that to you. It might represent the bestest friend you ever had. Okay, so, like, God is intimate. This is not, like, learn a system. Okay, learn God's ways. But actually, I'll tell you, at the end, I'm going to pass out a worksheet to take home just for you. And the first side of the worksheet has where you can study biblical dream symbolism. And then the second half is where you can write down symbols God has used in your life and begin to meditate and build a dictionary and relationship with God. So that's just something, it's a fun exercise. It's not, you just read a Bible story and pick out the symbols. It's quite nice. So anyway, you're going to get to take that home if you want to practice it. So interpreting dreams is really fun. I know, how many of you guys like games and puzzles? Anybody? Some people don't. Yeah, I know, me and my mom are like, we don't actually like the games and puzzles. Some people don't like games and puzzles. But one time, my mom and dad, the first time ever, went with me and Evie and Titus to an escape room. Have you ever heard of an escape room? Escape rooms are where they put you in a room with a bunch of games and puzzles, and they say, you got to figure it out if you're going to get out of here. And let me tell you, you get to know people when you're in a escape room situation. And we did not know what we were doing. None of us had ever done it before, but we all contributed, and we all found pieces of the puzzle, and we all figured it out. We all offered solutions. And then when we got out, we enjoyed the victory together. It was so fun. And now, Evie is like a professional escapee. And now, like, she has, like, a book where she can read, like, mysteries and puzzles. I would say, even if you don't like solving mysteries and puzzles, how many people like watching a good murder mystery? It's in that. You like to know. You like to uncover a matter, don't you? God put that in there inside of you. He put that in there inside of you because he wants you to uncover the mysteries of his ways. So anyway, this is good. So I just wanted to briefly talk about that. Oh, we're getting along. There's so much. I have some top tips. We've been talking about the why, but the top tips, if you have a dream or vision, it really helps to write it down. You would think that'd be obvious, but you know, sometimes you just say it to someone. If you actually write it down, oftentimes the Lord will give you further revelation. He'll give you further detail. As you begin to write, he can illuminate things just even in that. So write it or type it out. The Holy Spirit is your partner. Always ask the Holy Spirit to help lead you into all truth. Okay? You can get, this is really fun. Like I said, it's a group project. So ask your fellow believers to interpret dreams with you. Okay. Talked about that. And then practice. That's why we said the little worksheet, practice and study. Wanted to make sure I didn't. The most important thing at the end is activation. So if the Lord starts a conversation with you, he has a purpose for it. So I think I have been impatient with the dreams and visions God has given me before. If I haven't gotten an interpretation right away or within a couple of days, or maybe I got half of an interpretation, but not really understanding kind of where to go with it or what to do with it, oftentimes in the past, I would just forget about it or let it go. I want to encourage you in these days to not do that. Don't, you know, please learn from my mistake. If the Lord begins a conversation with you, follow it out in diligence to the matter till the matter is resolved, till you have the answer and you have the activation of what he wants you to do with it. And you think, if Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, who had received a vision to flee to Egypt, what if he didn't flee to Egypt? That would have been problematic. Same with Joseph in the Old Testament. Pharaoh gets his dream. He interprets it. What if Pharaoh was like, okay, cool. And they didn't do anything about it. Well, that wouldn't have been very helpful. And also just want to say that dream interpretation, God can use for promotion in your own life. And it's important. He can save your life. He can save your family's life. He can save a nation. So don't underestimate the importance of dreams and visions in these days. If these men had not responded to these visions, Herod could have possibly killed Jesus. And, well, Jesus might have not even been able to be born that way if all of his descendants died from famine. So that's probably the most important thing. Don't just receive the vision and just leave it to hang out. Right? Like, get it in your teeth and pursue the Lord and be in conversation with him and be in conversation with other believers and follow the matter through to the end. So yeah, that's the most important part. And I'll just say, listen, the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. So it's completely okay if you feel a little bit foolish. This is not the world's language. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to feel new. All right? Step out of the boat, so to speak, and walk with Jesus. Living in the Spirit will constantly confront your flesh and logic. Let's all be reminded of that. Okay? So yeah, go again. Pursue again. His ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Hallelujah. All right. Well, that is, we're going to pass out worksheets right now for you guys to take home. If you want to grab an extra one for somebody you think it might be fun to do together. And yeah, there's great books on this subject by amazing men and women of God. God's opening up this realm more and more because he's pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. The poor means there's more. He's pouring. So dive in. Ask God for dreams and visions. Ask him to bring you people to interpret dreams and visions. Amen. Yeah. Love you, family. Love you. There you go.
I just wanted to close. One of the things that when I was praying this week about today and it, just really interceding for today, because a lot of people, they'll think, well, this, you know, you can talk about dreams and vision, but no, this is really important. As we move into these last days and all the things the enemy is going to be doing on the earth, we need to be open to the Lord giving us direction and insight. And one of the things you've heard me say is even the reason I moved back to West Virginia had to do with a vision the Lord gave me when I was laying on the floor in a prayer meeting. And I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew that I was coming home. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me this week and one of the things that we're doing is kind of breaking up every Sunday to be kind of a theme. We haven't made this real well known yet, but today is Prophetic Sunday. And it just kind of worked this way that Emmy was the one that was speaking today. But one of the things the Lord spoke to me this week is, as I was praying about today, is all the connections in the scripture that have to do with pregnancy and the dreams that were given about birthing and enduring all through the Bible, talking about Hannah and such. You're having a boy? And so I felt like it was a very prophetic sign. I don't know if you're supposed to call him Samuel. You guys got to figure that out. But anyway, but just a prophetic sign that she was speaking today on prophetic Sunday about dreams and vision as she carries a boy in her womb is that I believe that this is a prophetic sign that God has impregnated, if you would let me use that word, he in this body, and that we are nurturing that baby for moving into a season that God's going to birth something brand new in this body. And I believe that with all my heart. So Lord, we just thank you for this season. I believe this season's going to be it's going to be challenging, but God, you put a seed in this body, and prophetically, God, that you're going to bring us to a place of birthing. We take our hands off of it for a moment because it's so easy for us to say, this is what it's going to look like. This is what it's going to be. But God, we take our hands off of it and we say, Lord, your will be done in Jesus' name. You bring forth what you want to. And Lord, we just submit to that. I pray for just a season of dreams and visions that would be activated in this body, that you would speak to the people of God in this room, and they would begin to make it a normal, regular, a part of their life. Not getting weird. We're not getting weird, Lord, but we're just staying biblical, and we're allowing the access of the voice of God to speak to us through dreams and visions. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We're dismissed. Man, just love on somebody. This has been a full morning. Hallelujah. If there's other needs that there's some of us up here for prayer, if you have other needs you need ministry for. God bless.